Oh, Father God, we do worship You more than ever before, because we realize more than we ever have before that we've been made, we've been created, we've been redeemed, we've been restored for one purpose: to know You, to glorify You, to worship You, to love You, to obey You, to serve You. And we just enjoy, Lord God, with great joy, with the kind of joy that's just unbounded, Your presence, Your favor, Your love, Your power, Your majesty, Your mercy, Your kindness, Your goodness, Your everything. You are our life. And those are not words with us, Lord God. That's reality. And so we do worship You now more than ever before. And we're so excited, Lord God, to drop away, to draw away, to push away that tradition, which is not of God, but is of man, that we might enter into the presence of God and to enjoy the favor and power and might of Almighty God, that they might know, that they might know, the watching world might know that Thou art the living God and there is no other. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord. And it came to pass, chapter 18, 1 Kings. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off all the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50s in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Ahab said unto Obadiah, Go into the land, unto all the fountains of water, unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find some grass to save the horses and the mules alive, that we lose not all the beasts. So they divided the land between themselves to pass through it. Ahab went one way by himself, Obadiah went another way by himself. And as Obadiah was in the way, behold, Elijah met him, and he knew him, and fell on his face and said, Art thou that, my lord, Elijah? And he answered and said, I am. Now, go, tell thy lord, behold, Elijah is here. And he said, What, have I sinned, that thou wouldst deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me? As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my lord hath not sent to seek for thee. And when they said, He's not here, he took up an oath against that kingdom and nation, that they found thee not. And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah's here. And it shall come to pass, as soon as I am gone from thee, that the Spirit of the Lord will carry thee thither, I know not. So when I come and I tell Ahab, and he cannot find thee, he shall slay me. But I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. Was it not told, my lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave, fed them with bread and water? And now thou sayest, Go tell thy lord, behold, Elijah's here, and he shall slay me. And Elijah said, As the Lord of hosts liveth, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. So Obadiah went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou, and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed the Baalim. Now therefore send and gather unto me all Israel unto the Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450 of them, and the prophets of the groves, 400 of them, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel. He gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Elijah came unto all the people, and he said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets, 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. I'll dress the other bullock, lay it on the wood, put no fire under it. And call ye on the name of your gods, I will call on the name of my God. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Hallelujah. The God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Today, the word of the Lord is that we need triple portion of power. You remember Elijah. He was a man of great power. He raised the dead, healed the sick, told the rain to stop, told the rain to start, was able to call fire down from heaven. That's single portion of power. When he left the earth, he told Elisha, his disciple and follower and servant, now Elisha, if you watch me go, if your eyes behold my rising, my resurrection, my ascension, my lifting up, actually he was raptured, if your eyes behold me, when I go away in my chariot, then God will pour upon you a double portion of power because you're going to need it. Because things are tough in my day, they'll be worse in your day. You're going to need a double portion of power because the time is short and the days are evil. Elisha did see him go, and the mantle fell upon the shoulders of Elisha as he went, and he received a double portion of power. On Pentecost, the church received a greater power, a greater mantle than that which fell upon Elisha. The power of Elijah and Elisha was not as great as the power of Pentecost. When the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the mantle of the Spirit of God shall fall upon the people of God. Yet, even as our brother sang this morning, the people of God do not seem to have the power. They don't have triple power. They don't have double power. They don't even have single power. Can you say amen? Amen. There's something wrong when men of God are only word takers, only word producers. That is, all they have is words, empty words, because the world is not interested in words, ideologies. The world is into bread. The world is into security. The world is into power. Now, Christianity is either relevant or irrelevant to this world. We know that this world is not a lasting thing. Nonetheless, God brought His Word and His life and His power into this world, and it speaks to the condition of man right where he is. The world does not have to come to God. The world does not have to put itself in a place where they can meet God. God will find you. God will seek out, search out the lost. Jesus said, I came to seek and save the lost. I came as a shepherd to find them wherever they are, wherever it's darkest, wherever it's the most miserable, that's where you'll find me. Where it's comfortable, where things are going well, you won't find me. Now, the most comfortable place on the earth today is in the church. The most comfortable place today on the earth is in the churches. Plenty of bread, security, power. That is, in terms of this earth. So we've got it. The people that are part of God's people got it. But they don't give it away. They hold on to it like the Sea of Galilee. They take in. I'm in a Dead Sea. They take in, but they don't want to give out. They want all the blessings like Israel did. Give me. Let it be for me and mine. And so God passes over those that are sleeping, those that are content, those that are satisfied, those that are fat, those that are doing well. Now, God has called us to be of the spirit of Elijah and Elisha and of the Holy Ghost. We need a triple portion of power. I tell you, there's only one reason to be comfortable. That's when everything's going your way. But God is opening our eyes. Everything is not going our way. There are rumblings in the world. The world is a troubled place. Mozambique is a stark example of the failure of Christianity. 500 years of Portuguese Catholicism has brought that people nothing but ignorance, poverty, disease, slavery, bondage. It has not brought forth a fruitfulness. It has not brought forth freedom. It has not brought forth any more than any other nation that has come under the Roman Catholic dominion. And I'm not picking on Rome. I'm saying that's a failure of the Christian gospel. It is words without power. There's no power. There's no power. Marxism is another word without power. And those things have risen up for only one reason. Because Christianity, true Christianity, is almost non-existent. True Christianity is almost non-existent. Elijah said, I only am left, a prophet of the Lord. God said, not so. There's actually 7,000 others who haven't bent the knee. But you're pretty close. Not too far off. Christians are rare. Martin Luther said, show me two Christians and I'll start a New Testament church. Martin Luther said, show me two Christians and I'll start a New Testament church. You don't got them. Now, he wasn't talking about born again. He was talking about sanctified. He was talking about serious Christianity. He called it hand and mouth. What your mouth says, let your hand agree with. He said, show me two Christians like that, and we'll start a New Testament church. He said, otherwise, let's forget it. Let's not pretend to set something up and call it something that it's not. Let's just be honest. We're no longer subject to the lies of Roman Catholicism. But don't make a mistake. We're not yet ready to be a New Testament church because we're not yet serious. And so it has been. 450 years later, the church is still weak as a whole. Sure, there are pockets. Sure, there are exceptions. But as a whole, the world needs more than pockets and exceptions. Can you say amen? There's a harder word coming because it's a word of hope. It's a word of life. We need to be a people who are not just people of words, concepts, theologies, ideologies, ideas, notions, opinions. How long will ye halt between two opinions? Either it's all the way with God. If God be God, then serve Him. Or, if Baal, then serve Baal. Now remember, the people of Israel were not Baal worshipers. The people of Israel were not Baal worshipers. Baal worshipers were around them in the other nations. The people of Israel were God worshipers plus Baal. They added a little bit of Baal to a little bit of God. Or even a lot of God to a little Baal. Anytime you mix God with anything else, you are a pragmatist. You are a practical person. The people that run the world today are pragmatists. They're humanists. Whether they're Marxist or Catholic or capitalist or whatever they are, they're pragmatists. They're practical men. They know how to mix a little of this with a little of that and try to please their constituencies and live in the real world. Now, Israel had that problem. She said, you know, God doesn't come through when we ask Him. God doesn't seem to have the power that we need. I mean, when it doesn't rain, God doesn't always come through. So sometimes we have to make provision for the time when God doesn't work. Hello? You ever done that? Turn to other things when God doesn't come through, because sometimes, you know, the problem's not you, it's with God, right? Right, right. It's with God. He doesn't seem to have the power all the time. So you turn to something else that's practical. You learn to compromise a bit here and there because God just can't be manipulated like that. And so what good is He? The problem couldn't be with us. We're good people. The best. God's good examples, Christians. Born again, born of the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God, blood washed, praise God. Amen. That should be it. Should be enough. But you know, God's looking for purity, 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 purity. Repentance, total. Total, 100%, 100%. Isn't that exciting? Amen. Say amen. Oh, God is looking for a pure people. You can't do it. That's the reason you're still in the boat you are. It's because you're trying. Just as the brother said, it's got to be Christ in you. He's already done it. Just believe it. You're already there. Just believe it. Step out. Go on. But we need a triple portion of power. Power comes from purity. Power comes from purity. Power comes from purity. Purity comes from revelation. A revelation. You must stand in the presence of God. You must stand in the presence of God. If you want power, you must be pure. If you want purity, you must stand in the presence of God. When you stand in the presence of God, worship Him, love Him, adore Him, praise Him. God, I'll serve you. I'll do whatever. I love you. When you do that, you'll be purified. When you're purified, you'll have power. Now, where does that presence come from? Since power comes from purity and purity comes from presence, where does that presence come from? The presence. Not only comes from praise, but that presence comes from knowing that God has a plan. God has a plan. He has a purpose. Now, when you know that, when you're convinced of that, Elijah knew that God had a plan and a purpose. He knew that God was going to bless His people. He knew that God had made a covenant. He knew that God couldn't reduce it down to just one man, Elijah. He knew there had to be a nation. So he went to King Ahab and said, either God's going to remove you or convert you, but something's going to happen. Because I'm telling you, the Lord is tired of famine. This famine was for a lesson, a purpose. It's lasted 3.5 years in order to show you that you've chosen the wrong way. You've chosen an alien God. You've decided to mix God with Baal. Ahab, shape up. That's what he was saying. And Ahab had chosen to follow a humanistic system. Ahab was a pragmatist, a humanist. He served God, but he also served himself. He also served other gods. That was his problem. He married a woman, Jezebel. Jezebel was Ahab's wife. Jezebel was slick. She was sharp. She knew how to bedevil and deceive. She knew how to manipulate Ahab, the king. She knew how to play tricks to get that guy to build her palaces and to extend his harems and to begin to live like the rest of the world. Jezebel is the spirit of the world that draws the man of God, the leader of God's people, away from the Lord. There's only one problem that Jezebel had, Elijah. If it weren't for Elijah, Jezebel would have made it. Today we live in a world that is troubled. And the trouble is not Christianity. But the trouble is Christian leaders who are compromised, like Ahab. Ahab was a man of God, that is, he was a leader of God's people, but instead of walking after God, he knew all about God. He went to the temple. He was a church goer. He was a temple goer. But in his own way, he made a deal, just as his fathers had, and he walked in their evil ways. And so even though he was a wealthy man, tremendous wealth, the wealth of Ahab was tremendous. He had an ivory throne. You know, he's carved all out of ivory tusks and everything. Beautiful. One of the most beautiful thrones that ever has been. Tremendous relics. We still have many of the relics that come from Ahab's kingdom. But 3 years of famine and everything went down the drain. 3 years of famine and everything went down the drain. You know that right now for the last 3 years in Africa, there has been a famine that has cost millions of lives and destroyed the economies of dozens of nations. Now, every nation in Africa is suffering. Every nation, including white-dominated South Africa. Every nation is suffering. There is very little hope except in white-dominated South Africa. Every other nation is in debt. They're in trouble. There's a curse upon the land. There's a curse upon the land. Now remember, the power lies not in secular humanist rulers. Where does the power lie? With Ahab, the traitor. The power was in his hands, and he perverted everything. That's why there's a curse upon the land. Because they've chosen alien gods. They've chosen false gods. You know, the missionaries came into all these countries. And at one time there were many of the leaders, most of the leaders today of Africa grew up in missionary school. And they heard about Jesus and they knew the Lord. That is, to an extent. But when they found they were betrayed by Christians, when they found that Christianity wasn't working, when they found that they were sold out, they began to turn to other gods that would be helpful and work for them. Now, many who remained faithful were killed, were eliminated, were destroyed. The people continued to rebel. So we are looking at a bleak, very bleak picture. There's a curse on the land because there's compromise in the leaders and because they have now turned to other gods. Now Elijah was sent by God. Elijah was sent to go and to tell Ahab to have a contest, a challenge. And so Elijah had power that none of the gods of this world could produce. None of the gods of this world can produce today. The Russians are in Mozambique. They've got doctors there. They've got the media covered. They control it. But no food. The Russians haven't got enough food to feed themselves, let alone to feed their satellites. So the Russians can't deliver. Somehow their gods don't quite work. And more the black nations who want to follow Russia because they don't want to follow the West and be gobbled up by the oil companies and the banks and the ruthless Westerners, you know, some of the people we know, so we can live fat and exploit them. They don't want to follow that, so they have to turn themselves over to other gods who will equally eat them up and betray them. But at first it looks like it's a good deal. So we see over there that just as in this day, Ahab was a pragmatist. The African leaders today are pragmatists. They know that witchcraft won't do it. They really know Marxism won't do it. They really know that capitalism will do it and they don't want it to do it because they know the price is too heavy. They're stuck. Word of God with power and demonstration. It's impossible. I'm just going to tell you right now, there's no hope. Already those that control much of the world's resources and political systems have already decided 2 billion people have to go. Africa is a big portion of that. South America and Asia are the rest. Those 2 billion people are useless. Get rid of them. They're just sitting on all of our chromium and gold and forests and rubber and tin and so on. Right? Get rid of them. What do they know? They're ignorant anyway. Right? Right? Hello? Are you following me? Those that run the world know that those people aren't ever going to revolt or do anything. They're dumbbells. They look at them as ignorant. Rulers of the world have always looked at their subject and peoples as ignorant. Easy to manipulate. Any pastor can tell you churches are easy to manipulate. That's you. I'm just being honest with you. The easiest thing of all is to be a pastor. It's so easy to manipulate people. People are just easily manipulated, especially by religion, even better than politics. Hello? It's big business. It's easy to do it. People don't expect anything out of you. You know, if you just look the part and fake a little bit, they love it. Hello? When I was in the Lutheran church, I don't talk about you people, but when I was in the Lutheran church, they never cared that I prayed. No one ever came and said, how many hours have you been praying? They don't care about that. All they want to know is, are you at your desk in case we need to call you? We might need a baptism or a burial or a marriage or confirmation or something. Are you ready? Will you be there? Well, don't you want me to be out visiting and doing that? No, we don't care about that. Just look the part. Just be there in case we need you. That's all they wanted. Don't you care what I believe or what I think? It's not very important. I could have gotten up and preached heresy. All the other Lutheran ministers do. They don't care. Could have someone stand on a drum and clap their hands. They don't care. That doesn't matter. As long as, you know, it doesn't upset anything too much. Hello. It's pragmatism. Lutherans are, you know, Hitler found this out. They know how to obey their leaders. So it's easy to manipulate religious people. It's done all the time in this city. Am I being too real? Yes, I am. Okay. Nonetheless, that's the way it'll be. There is a new ruthlessness that needs to be declared. And I want you to know that Elijah was such a ruthless man. Why? Because he was a lover. Elijah loved his people. Elijah loved God. Elijah was willing to go to Ahab and declare to him the word of the Lord. Now, here's the thing I want to teach you this morning. First of all, God has a plan. That's the first thing. God has a plan for Mozambique. God has a plan for South Africa. God has a plan for the whole continent. Second of all, God is with us. God is present. He has a plan. He is present. Now, that's the secret to everything else. Two things you must do. Purify yourselves. Pray. God has a plan. God is present. Purify yourselves. Pray. Notice they're all P's. Okay? That will produce power. Because God has a plan, and because He is present with us, and if we then purify ourselves, put away the gods from our own lives, and pray, fervent prayer, there will be power. Now let's look at James. James tells us the secret. Matthew, Mark, Luke, James. All right. All right, let's look at verse 15. And the prayer of faith will save the sick man. This is praying for the sick. The elders praying for the sick. Power. And the Lord shall raise him up. Shall, not maybe. If he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your faults one to another. Purity. Confess your faults one to another. And pray. Purity, prayer. Pray for one another that you may be healed. So you see, power comes from purity and prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, which is Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we, just like us. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Prayer. We can break the famine in Africa. We will break the famine in Africa. God has a plan. God is present. We must meet the conditions. Prepare ourselves by repentance, purity. Pray fervently. Fervently, it means with all you got. I mean, it means seriously. It's not going to happen. I'm just going to tell you right now, nothing will happen on the trip except to see a few elephants and, you know, look at some guys with spears. Or maybe even be wiped out. If we don't pray, if we don't purify ourselves and pray so that the plan of God, the presence of God, can be with us for power. It's not just my power. It's our power. God isn't looking for Elijahs today. He's not looking for heroes. He's not looking for single individuals. I go in the name of the Lord, in the name of this church, in the name of the body of Christ. But I believe that God is with me. I believe God does have a plan. I believe God has sent me, and I believe there will be great power. God has wakened me up night after night to hear Him, to listen to Him. I'm going to share with you now as I close the word that the Lord has given to me personally about this trip. But God has a plan, but it's essential. It's not you know, when you give a word to the Lord, sometimes they're unconditional, meaning it's just something's going to happen anyway. But 99% of the time, a word of the Lord depends upon the people who hear it doing something. That is, they're conditional. So when God says, I will do something, it doesn't mean He'll do it. It only means that's what He intends to do if the people of God will do their part. Now, I believe that this word that the Lord has given me is a word that is conditional. I'm not shaky about it because I've prayed for you. I'm not shaky about it because I believe God is going to bring forth His plan and be present with us. But I'm just telling you so that we can be one in what's going on. We need today in this world a triple portion of power. If we are obedient to God's, not only His vision, but the timing and the method. Not only what, but when and how. The vision, the timing, the method. If we're sensitive to that, you will see incredible things happening in this world. Why should a little church in Fort Worth go all the way over to Mozambique, a country hardly worth looking at? I don't know. God knows. But God knows that we could have gone to Ethiopia. There are other famine-stricken places. There are other disease-ridden places. There are other war-torn places. But this is the place God said, it's dark there, go there. It's where I want you to go in. So the door to Africa for us, not for world vision perhaps, not for world concern, not for the Church of Christ here, Richland, but for us, the way that we're told to go is through Mozambique. Therefore, the secret that God has given us is to obey Him, to do what He says, when He says, and how He says it. Now is the time He's shown us the method. He will continue. As you pray, words will be given to us. As we walk into the presence of Samora Machel, the president of Mozambique, the king of Mozambique, if you will, as we stand in His presence, God is going to do a work. Otherwise, there's no point to go. We're not just going to shake His hand and tell Him we brought Him some food. We're going because Jesus Christ is King of Kings. We're going because Jesus Christ loves Africa. We're going because Jesus Christ said there will be a nation, tongue, and tribe in the kingdom of God out of every nation, tongue, and tribe. He said there will not be one that will be missing. I know there are already believers there, but they're hidden. The believers there and the leaders are hidden. As Obadiah hid 100 in a cave, the believers there are hidden. They're either in the land, keeping silence. I just talked to a man yesterday. They're in the land keeping silence. Thousands of them. And they have not been taught the full gospel. Even though they're faithful men, even though they fear God, they are not well taught. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The people of God today do not know the living God. Yes, they're Christians. Yes, they're born again. Yes, they're maybe even spirit-filled. But many of them are ignorant. They do not know the living God. So much of the Christian work even lays fallow. Why is it that God could only speak to one man, Elijah? Why is it? Why didn't He speak to 100 prophets and then the 7,000 others who hadn't bent the knee? I don't know. But you see, God is looking for those that will listen to Him and hear Him and then go. Now, you know, when Jesus preached His first sermon, He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor and open the eyes of the blind and release the captives," and so on. And then the thing that made that sermon interesting, they were all going, "Wow, neat, praise God, good exegetical sermon. 3 points, blind, you know, they worked it all, very good." But this is when they got rageful and wanted to kill Him and took Him out to stone Him, is when He said, "This scripture has now been fulfilled in your hearing today." They went, "Crazy man. That's just Elijah talking. Are you saying you are God's man for the hour?" He said, "Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Kill him." Because the people of God are used to history. They don't mind history. Or they're used to future. Back in the old days, God did a thing. Someday, heaven will come and it'll be all wonderful. What about right now, today, you and I? That's what counts. This scripture is being fulfilled right now. This is real. Samora Machel doesn't need me just to be a friend of his or to say, you know, we got some more medicine and wheat next year and we're going to really help you. What he needs is a touch from the living God. And I believe God is right now, because we've prayed, because we've purified ourselves, and because we're entering into this thing seriously, because God has a plan and God is present, I believe that power is going to break out. What I'm doing is telling you what God intends to do. What will happen depends upon our faith, upon our faith, upon our faith, our purifying ourselves. It's exciting. The power of God will fall. I'm going to read you the word that God gave to me. He woke me up at, I don't know what time it was. It was early or late or something. 3 nights ago. This is what He gave me. "Arise, my son. I send you to Mozambique, to a land forgotten of the Lord, but now remembered. I have heard the cries of my people. I will endure the wicked in the land no longer. I send you to a man, even the king of Mozambique. He is a beleaguered man, a broken man, a man of great confusion. you will bring him hope. He is my servant. I have prepared him for this hour. He will listen to you. You will speak my words. You will tell him that the famine will end. You will tell him that relief will come. His land will become a garden of delight, even greater than before. I will rebuke the devourer. His enemies will scatter of a sudden, and he will see them no more. I will break the yoke of ignorance and superstition that hangs heavily upon his land. I will destroy the power of Portugal and Pretoria over his people. I will remove the spirit of witchcraft from the people and stop the voices of control from afar. Yes, and those who have been made masters will now become servants. I will provide his people with seed, and I will put bread in every home. I will make his wells full of pure water, and his fields will become moist with my own tears of compassion. Let his people learn a song. Let music and dance be heard in the villages. I will do this for Africa. Mozambique is my door to the continent. You must tell the king that I am going to lift him up. He will not be overthrown. His enemies will in no wise triumph over him. His fields will not be parched. His land will flow with milk and honey. His people will dwell in peace. His name will become great in the earth. He will be called a worker of miracles, and his neighbors will regard him with awe. You will speak to him the words of life. He will listen. I have sent you. Behold, I have made you my instrument of mercy. I am answering your prayers and the prayers of my people. I have given favor to my servant Robert. I have poured grace upon you. Up now. Do not delay. Power is with you for blessing. Purify your soul. Stand before the king. Do not fear him. He will receive you. He will hear you. You have been given the favor of heaven. Speak to him with love. He will surely be healed. You will strengthen his hands. He will see my face in you. He will recognize my voice. I will speak to him in a dream. I will tell him you are coming. You will tell him that you are sent to bring him tidings of joy and hope and prosperity. He will listen. He is my servant. I will use him to gain glory for myself. Arise, purify thyself and thy people. Take words. Do not fear. I have spoken to him. He will receive you. You will demonstrate my power to him. He will not resist you. He is weak today, but you will strengthen him, my son. He will know that I am the Lord. Tell him to turn. Tell him that his gods are no gods. Tell him that I am he that calleth him. He will hear you and surprise all his friends. You will understand him. He will find a friend in you. I have prepared you for this hour. Why have you not understood? I am the Lord God. I will speak to you as a friend. I will gain glory in this hour. You are a chosen vessel. Go forth. Go forth. I will teach you everything. I will be with you. I am Jesus. You are my beloved, my chosen, my faithful one. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for a triple portion of power. Not extraordinary, only the ordinary. The people of God have been endued with power from on high, greater than that of Elijah, greater than that of Elisha, even the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is necessary for this hour that we might speak to this world. Oh Lord God, the world trembles before the living God, but the world pays no attention to the church that is turned aside, that limps along with two opinions. And I praise you, Lord God, that you have a plan, that you have a purpose, that you are present, that your people are called to purify themselves, to pray with fervent prayer, that you might demonstrate your power and gain glory for yourself throughout the earth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, we rejoice greatly, Lord God, in this message, in this reality. And all the people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just stand for a moment.